read the Christmas story around Christmas time. I read the Easter story around. To it as the resurrection chapter, all right? And so Mary comes early in the morning. The Bible says that it was still dark. I don't know what happened between that generation of women and the generation of women today that a woman was up before daylight, amen? I don't know what happened. Something had to happen between now and then, amen? And the Bible says that she came to the sepulcher and she saw that the stone was rolled away and it bothered her. Her first thought was, oh no. We know the end of the story. I mean, if we'd have saw the tomb, we'd have said what? Oh yeah, he's alive, amen. He's alive. And her first thought was not he's alive. Her first thought was he's been stolen. And so she comes to the sepulcher, and she is not happy. She is alarmed. And the Bible says in verse number 3, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes there. I want to stop right here and say this. I missed it in verse number 2. The Bible says that the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John talking about himself. John brags on himself here, and he says he outran Peter. But I want to notice something in verse number 2. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. We know John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I was reading behind a man today, and he said, John wasn't the only disciple whom Jesus loved. Any disciple could have made that same statement, and you and I can make that statement today. Amen. I am a disciple whom Jesus loves. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I also wanted to point out that Peter was with John. Peter was with John. And if this would have happened in our day today, Peter would have been outcast at this time. Peter would have been judged. Nobody would have wanted to hang out with Peter because he has just defied Christ, denied Christ. He has ran away. He has washed his hands. But then the Bible says that John is with Peter. I'm thankful for John. I'm thankful for the compassion that he showed Peter. Amen. The Bible says, so they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Okay, so John, most likely the reason that John outran Peter was because he was younger. And he gets to the tomb here and he looks in and he sees the linen clothes lying. But the Bible says that he does not go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and see if the linen clothes lie. Many have speculated as to why John did not go in the tomb. I don't know whether it was reverence of the place of Christ. I don't know why he didn't go in the tomb. But we know Peter to be a person who he just rushes into everything. Amen. He's one of them guys. What's the statement? Ask for forgiveness, not permission. Amen. And so he just piles right up on in the tomb and he sees the napkin that was about, verse number 7, about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. I want y'all to notice that. So John looked in, he saw, and he believed. Now, a lot of people will make this statement, seeing is what? Believing. But if seeing is believing, then why didn't Mary and Peter believe? They saw the same thing John did. May I submit to you that John believed, and that's why he saw. Amen? And so he believed. The Bible says in verse number 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. This is the verse that I want to that just really stuck out to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Verse number 11, the Bible says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see if two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou would have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Amen. So we know this scripture. We know what happens here. Mary, along with a few other women, as other gospels point out, she comes to anoint the body of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus was killed, and the Sabbath day was coming the next day, and it was late at night, and so they didn't get a chance to properly anoint the body of Jesus. So they waited until after the end of the Sabbath, and the very first day of the week, on the morning of the first day of the week, these women came to anoint the body of Jesus. As I said before, they get there, they look, they see the stone is rolled away, they run back and get some other disciples, Peter and John, they take off running. They get there, they see that the stone has been rolled away. Peter just looked and saw, John believed, and the Bible says that they left. And I could just imagine Mary standing there by herself weeping. And the Bible says that she was without. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Mary stood without. Without what? Without what? Without hope. Without peace. Without a friend. Without her Savior. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Without purpose. Have you ever been there tonight? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you had no hope? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you had no peace? Have you ever been in a situation like Mary was, and you have no understanding? I mean, this man said he was the Messiah, and now he's gone. I don't understand. Have you ever been in a place like that where you have no understanding? Lord, I just don't understand. Anybody ever been that way? Or is it just me? Amen. And the Bible says that she stood without it. I want you to see this. She stood without Jesus. I want you to notice three things when you're standing without. Three things when you're going through a tough time. Three things when you are without, you fill in the blank. Number one, understand this. Number one, and these aren't alliterated, y'all forgive me. Number one, remember this. You do not see clearly. You are not seeing clearly. Look in verse number one. The Bible says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loveth, and saith unto them, Lord, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Can you imagine her mind is racing? Could you imagine the thoughts that's going through this woman's mind as she has just spent the last few years with this man? She has been healed by this man. She has had devils cast out of her by this man. And now he's gone. Everything that she thought she knew is gone. And so how many of y'all know when you're in the middle of an emotional time in your life, you don't see things as clearly as you would if you weren't? Amen. How many of y'all ever heard somebody say, don't ever make a decision out of emotion, right? Don't ever make a decision out of emotion. Why? Because when you're in the situation, you are not seeing things clearly. Amen. And so I can see Mary standing here without any hope, without any peace, without any understanding. As she stands here, she's not seeing clearly. The Bible says that it was dark. I know the Bible is talking about the time of day. I know that the time of day caused it to be dark. But I want to tell you tonight, it was not just dark physically in her life. It was dark on the inside in her life. Amen. It was dark spiritually. It was dark mentally in her life. I could just imagine, I've been in the place where Mary is. I've been in a situation where I didn't understand. And I know exactly right here how it is in my life when I'm in this situation and I'm not seeing clearly. I want you to notice something else. When you don't see clearly, look again. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." Now this is the second time she's looked into the sepulchre. When you're not seeing clearly, everybody look at me, look again. Look again. Look again. Look where? The last place you know where he was. Amen. Look again. And look again. And look again. And the more you look, the more you'll find him. Amen. I know in this, I don't know about y'all. I might be just talking to a handful of people who have a constant relationship with God. I hope all of us do. How many of y'all ever been reading your Bible and you felt like, I can't see, I'm not seeing anything? Anybody ever felt like that? Have you ever read your Bible, Brother Trent, and you needed a sermon and you couldn't find nothing? Have you ever been reading your Bible, Brother Edwin, and you didn't need a sermon, you just needed something and you couldn't find nothing? I mean, I feel like this is how Mary felt this day. She thought, man, if I just get to that sepulcher, I'll be in his presence again. And she got there only to find that he was gone. Could you imagine that? I can't tell you how many times I've gone through a discouraging time, or I've encouraged somebody or counseled with somebody and told them, hey, look, if you're going through a discouraging time, draw nearer to God. Get closer to him. Get in his word. Read his word. Pray to him. Have a good relationship with him. Get in his presence. And I've tried to live that sometimes, and I'm just going to be honest with y'all. There's times I've gone to find him, and it's been hard to find him. There's been times I've gone and got in the word bare and tried to find something to send out to the devotion once a week, and I'm coming up with nothing. Just like them boys that was fishing my dad was preaching about the other day, and we caught nothing. I've been in my Bible and caught nothing. Can I just be honest with y'all tonight? Amen. And I feel like Mary here, she was just thinking, man, if I can just get in his presence, if I can just see him, it'll make me feel better. And she got to where she thought he was going to be. And she ended up standing without. Have you ever been there tonight? Have you ever felt that way tonight? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't see clearly? Number one, you're not seeing things very clearly. Understand that. Before you do anything, before you get overwhelmed, tell yourself, I'm not seeing everything God's seeing. Amen? Number two, he doesn't always appear how, when, or where you expect him to. When standing without, he does not always appear how, when, or where you expect him to. Let's look in verse number, I love this. This is what, I mean, the Lord really helped me with this. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Now, I want to stop right here before I even preach this point. I want to say this. Mary says, hey, man, if you'll just tell me where he is, I'll carry him away. Now, she might have been built differently than women of today, but this was a full-grown man, dead weight. She ain't going to pick him up and carry him somewhere. She ain't strong enough. Amen? Right. Now, I want to say this. It's something that jumped off to me. When you are in an emotional state, you think you can do things you can't. You think you can do things that you can't. Amen? You make decisions based off of your emotion and not reality. Amen? And so number two, Jesus doesn't always appear how, when, or where you expect him. I want you to notice that if it were us, the first thing we'd have said when we figured out this was Jesus is, what took you so long? Right? I mean, let's just be honest. Men, how many of y'all don't like to wait on your wife? Amen? I now live 2 minutes from the church. I'm hoping that's going to help with me being late. Amen? We'll see. Y'all pray for me. Amen. But we don't like to wait. How many of y'all are impatient? Raise your hand. Brother Jesse, tell them, don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. None of us are patient, right? Could you imagine Mary standing without, and she finds out this was Jesus. Could you imagine? She could almost get aggravated with him. Lord, how could you do this to us? How could you leave us? Even though he had just told them, by the way, the Bible tells us that they didn't understand the scriptures, amen. We would have wanted it right then, right there. Jesus doesn't always show up when you think he should. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a tough pill to swallow. It's easy for me to stand up here and preach this. It's harder for me to go home and live this. When you pray a prayer and you don't get the answer you think you should. When you pray a prayer and you've been praying it for a year and you're fixing to give up. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who gets frustrated in my prayer life. I'm like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I've been asking for this for 2 years. Anybody else? Or is it just me that stood without expecting Jesus at this time and he didn't show up? Sometimes he doesn't show up when you think he should. Understand he knows all things. Understand that when he is not showing up when you think he should, he is doing something on your behalf. Also, sometimes he comes to you as your Savior. Sometimes he comes to you as a gardener. The problem is none of us want to talk to the gardener. God sends somebody from the church. God sends Brother Robbie up here. And he preaches a sermon that hurts your feelings. And we don't want to listen to the gardener. We want to listen to the Savior. Amen. And sometimes Jesus doesn't come looking like Jesus. Sometimes he comes and he looks like a gardener. Sometimes he comes and he looks like Edwin Smith. God help him. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, sometimes he comes looking like Dalton Harrington. Sometimes he comes looking like Robbie Harrington. Sometimes he comes looking like Lauren Harrington. We've got to be willing. We've got to have the discretion to know that it's him. Mary messed up. She didn't even recognize him. You want to know why she didn't recognize him? Because she was looking in a different place. She was looking for a different person. And it was him. Amen. This is good. I wanted to share this with y'all. He doesn't always appear how, when. Listen to this. He doesn't always appear where. The Bible says, where was she looking for him? In the tomb. And where was he? In the garden. The tomb represents what? Death. The garden represents what? Life. You will never, hey listen, you can keep looking for him in those dead things in your life. You'll never find him. You'll never find him. He has got plans, Brother Johnny, to grow you. And if you'll turn around and quit looking in the dead things in your life, you'll see him in the living things in your life. Amen? Ain't that a blessing? You may not know where he is, but he knows exactly where you are. She was scrambling, overwhelmed, looking everywhere, didn't know where to turn. If he's not here, I don't know where to look. Guess what? He wasn't trying to find her. He already knew exactly where she was. Ain't that a comforting, isn't that a comforting picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? The next time you go through something, knowing, hey, look, I'm trying to find God and I'm not as successful as I want to be, but I know one thing, he knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly where you are tonight. And let me just say this, he is a lot closer than you think he is. She's talking to the angels, she said, where have they laid him? And I can just imagine Jesus tapping her on the shoulder, saying, psst, I'm right here. And sometimes when Jesus seems so far away, that's when he's the closest, amen. That's when he's the closest. He's a lot closer than you're giving him credit for. As I was thinking about this this point as I was thinking about this picture. What a beautiful picture of how Jesus, He may not be how, when, or where we think He should be, but He's there. I was thinking about Elijah as he's looking out and he sees the wind and he sees the earthquake. The Bible says he saw the fire, but the Lord was not in any of those. But the Bible was in a, or the Bible says that the Lord was in a still, small voice. As great of a prophet as Elijah was, he was looking in all the wrong places. And so many of us today, even sitting in this room tonight, we look for God in all the wrong places. Where are you looking for Him tonight? He's not in the tomb no more. He's moved on to greener pastures. Amen. Where are you looking for Him? Are you looking for God in places that He's not? Maybe God's been trying to get through to you, but you've been looking in the wrong place. Let's get our eyes back on Him tonight. Amen. Let me ask you this question. Are you looking in the wrong places? Number three, and I'm done. He doesn't always appear how, when, or where you expect Him to. Number three, He knows exactly what you need to hear. He knows exactly what you need to hear. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then Jesus saith unto her, come to this class that I'm having. Come fellowship with the girls on Tuesday night. Huh? Here's some money to cheer you up." He just says one word. Mary. Man, that just, ain't that a blessing? The God of the universe knew her name. Knew exactly where she was, exactly what she needed. Amen. What power He has in His Word. Listen to this. I was thinking about this. In the garden, one word, Adam, He brought uncomfort, discomfort. He brought a sentence of death. In this garden, one word, He says, Mary, and brought comfort. What power He has in His Word. Just in His Word. Remember just a few chapters ago in John, He says, I am. Boom! The soldiers fall back. Right? And one word, Mary. She went from the most broken individual in Jerusalem to the most happy, comforted, joyful woman in the world. Amen? Amen. By the way, if you went to Israel, as you're reading this scripture, are you not picturing that you're standing in by the garden tomb right now? I mean, the whole time I'm studying this sermon, I'm sitting here like, there's the garden tomb right there. There's the Skull Hill right over there, you know, and I'm standing there. I got to try to take away the guardrails, you know what I'm saying, because they weren't there, you know what I mean? But I'm there. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about standing there. Could you imagine her standing there by that wine press that we seen? Just crying. With her head bowed. Just. And then the God of the universe walks up behind her and says, Mary. Wow, what a blessing. The power of His Word. The word Mary here means rebellion. Rebellion. I was like, well, that's not very comforting. Jesus walks up to you and says, rebellion. But I got to thinking, He knew all of her. I think that's what was comforting to Mary. He knew about the devils. He knew about her past. And He still showed up for her, amen? What a comforting thought that is, that He's not just going to show up to the people that are perfect, amen? He shows up to people who are rebellious too, amen? He says, Mary. There's nobody that can talk to you like He can. If you've ever talked to Him, when you needed Him, you know exactly what I mean. It's like you're about to die of thirst and somebody gives you some cold water, amen? It's refreshing. In the moment In that moment, the most comforting thing that Jesus could say to Mary was, "Mary." I almost had the choir sing tonight, "He knows my name." What a blessing that is. That He knows exactly who I am. That song, "He Knows My Name," says that He sees every tear that we cry. I'm thankful for that, amen. He counts every hair on your head. Some of you is a little less than others, amen. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. I like this part. Jesus didn't reveal Himself to Mary by telling her about Himself. He revealed Himself to Mary by telling her who she was. There's a lot of people that can tell you all about themselves. How many of y'all ever met somebody like that? Amen? You can't even get a word in because all they're going to do is talk about themselves. But there's only one person that can tell you all about you. There's only one person that can tell you all about you. Jesus used that truth to tell her that it was Him. Amen? She knew all about Him, but the most comforting thing is He knew all about her. Let me ask you this question. Are you listening to God when He's trying to speak life into you? He knows exactly what to say. Just as Satan knows exactly what button to push in your life to discourage you, Jesus knows what button to push to encourage you. I just want to encourage you tonight. That's all I came here to do tonight. I know this sermon is not wowing anybody, but it's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me that I can go through times in my life where I'm without hope, I'm without peace, I'm without friends, I'm without a word, I'm without purpose. She came to anoint Jesus, and when He wasn't there, she had nothing to do. She had no purpose. She's standing there with no purpose, without anything. Could you imagine, like I said before, everything going through her mind? Was He really who He said He was? He didn't do it like I thought He would do it. I thought He would be here longer. I thought He was stronger than them. Questions filled her mind. And just at the right time, Jesus steps up and says, "Mary." By the way, the Bible says that she ran and, well, it doesn't say this, but I know this now. I always thought that she was coming to Him, Brother Edwin, and He said, "Don't touch me." I always thought that because the King James Version says, "Touch me not." But if you'll look into that, those words, He's saying, "Let me go." In other words, she had already latched hold of Him. In one word, Mary, boom, I could just see her taking Him back with a big old bear hug, amen? And He says, "Let me go. I still got unfinished business. I still got to go to the Father." What a beautiful thing, though, that Jesus was not finished, but He made a pit stop. Is that not a blessing? Is that not encouraging that He'll make a pit stop every now and then and call you by name and give you a big old bear hug and encourage you? By the way, if you've never got a bear hug from the Lord, He's the best. He's the best, amen? I just wanted to encourage somebody in here tonight that's without. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. The Bible doesn't give us what she was without. I think that's beautiful because we get to fill in the blank. What are you without tonight? What are you without? Brother Matt, you can play that. What are you without tonight? Let me encourage you tonight. You may be without, but He's closer than you think He is. He's closer than you think He is. He doesn't always appear how, when, or where you expect Him to, but He will be there. He's seldom early, but He's never late. He knows exactly what you need to hear. There's somebody in here tonight, and you're going through exactly what I'm talking about. I believe with all my heart that God would not have let me preach this message tonight if there wasn't somebody in here that's standing without. Standing without. Looking in all the wrong places. Discouraged. Misunderstanding. Confused. And He simply gave me the assignment tonight to come and tell you that He knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. Knows every tear you cry. Knows every thought that goes through your mind. Knows what's on the schedule next week. He knows what you've already gone through. He knows your secrets. And He's closer than you think He is. Are you listening when He's trying to speak? He's calling you by name tonight. He's calling you by name tonight. Are you listening? Every head bowed, every eye closed. These altars are open. I wonder if there's somebody that's without that needs to find this altar and give the Lord a big old bear hug and say, "Master, I missed you. I need you." Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your compassion. Lord, this could have been a moment where you said, "Oh, ye of little faith," but you didn't. You said, "Mary." You could have got on to her. You could have scolded her for her disbelief, for her doubt, but you didn't. Lord, you made a pit stop right on time. It might not have been where she was looking. It might have not been when she was looking. But it was right on time. Lord, help us. Lord, help every single one of us to trust that you know what you're doing. Lord, help every single one of us to trust and know that whatever we may go through, whatever we stand without, you know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly when you're doing it. I pray, Lord, you give us peace. I pray that you give us faith to continue to stand. Lord, I love you so much. I thank you for your presence. Lord, your presence heals a lot of things. It fixes a lot of things. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to take hold of this scripture tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the time that me and you spent together this week. Lord, as you encouraged me that in times where I don't understand, you're near. Lord, help me to trust you. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church tonight, encourage our church. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your blessing tonight. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the crowd tonight. Lord, help us not to just walk out of here without taking this word with us. Lord, we love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.